Praise God.
Yeah.
Praise God. Wow. It's great. I have a thought to share just before the message, and it has to do with 2 Samuel 16. So would you turn there with me? This isn't the message. It actually could turn into the message, but it's not my idea right now. Okay, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Do you feel, like this is a question, do you feel that we live in a time when it's kind of fashionable to say, I am offended? You offended me. How about in social media? I'm not on Facebook, but I have looked, you know, and I see a little bit, and there's this thumbs down and thumbs up, dislike and like, right? And you have a lot of likes, and then I don't like it, dislikes, right? Isn't it like more fashionable or in our mindset and in our culture, isn't it? Like, I don't like that, you know. I don't like that. And then connected with it maybe is being offended. Like, you offended me, you know. That's okay to say in our world. You offended me, right? But I want you to stop doing that. Okay, because there's something deeper in life than you and I being offended. And it's right here in 2 Samuel 16. Now, let's back up because I feel like some of you don't like me right now. I offended you somehow. Okay, like let's back up. What is he saying? How can that be? What is he talking about? Why is he talking about me like that? Okay, let's go to 2 Samuel 16 in verse 5. When King David came to Bahurim, I thought it was Baha, it's Bahurim. Behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men. Let me back up a little bit because this is a great story. And actually, this will turn into the message. Because I want to speak about sanctification this morning. But I want to explain something to you that's very important. Many of you have been in you know your theology pretty well, and you know that justification is a very important word. Do you see? I'll write it here for you. Romans 3 and 4. Anybody know what that means, justification? In a word? Justification is what? Being justified before a holy God who declares us righteous. And it's given to you 100%. You are declared 100% righteous by God. Another way of saying you are saved. You are redeemed. You are reconciled to God. Made perfect. You are forgiven of all past, present, future sin. Your name is in the book of life. You are holy. Revelation 21:27. There is a city with gates that are open day and night, and it says nothing unclean can enter into that city. That means you and I could not enter this city because we are unclean. We are sinners. To this day, Every one of us, we have a sin nature. And we all have the potential in us, the seed potential of committing any sin in the world. We have that potential. We don't do it necessarily. We're not as bad as we could be, but we are absolutely bad or depraved or sinful completely and totally. But the moment you believed in Jesus, you are justified. At that moment, there's no process. It's 100% for whoever believes. We are forgiven. We are declared righteous by God when we are not. But that's because of Him. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So this is important truth. There is no progress in this justification. There is no time sequence where you improve it or it gets better and better. No, it's immediate, 100%. It is also guaranteed. We are declared by God to be righteous. We are saved. The moment we believe, that's it. Sanctification is a different word, except in Hebrews where it's very similar to, it's really the same as the word justification. I don't want to get into explaining that, but only say that the word is almost always used for the idea of progress, that you are being sanctified in time. You have good time, bad times, or something like this. And then when you leave your body, you are perfect. When you leave your body, or your body is glorified, you leave your body at the time of death, you enter into God's presence, and the process of sanctification, the growth, the actual process of becoming like Jesus, the actual growing, the trials, the challenges, the faith, the Holy Spirit sanctifying us. I got good news for you. If you continue in your faith, you will be being sanctified. You are being changed. This is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Many Bible verses that we can quote regarding that. Philippians 3:15-17. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Philippians 1:9-11. Colossians 1:9-11. We are growing in knowledge. We are growing in love. We are being conformed to His image. Romans 8:29-30. We are being changed. Wow, that's amazing. I got to be honest. I don't always see it. I don't always feel it. But it is in your life. I don't know what's happening. For some reason this morning, I went way back, just came to my memory fresh. When I was up in Maine as a Bible college student, and Pastor Stevens asked me to go to a small town called Friendship, Maine. It was a lobster fisherman town, like with one street, one store. And he asked me to preach there at a schoolhouse, a little red schoolhouse. And the believers that listened to him on the radio were gathering in that schoolhouse. So I said, sure. I felt honored. It was like I was in Bible school, and he asked me to preach in his place. Wow, that was amazing. So I got in my little red Volvo car and just went. I was sure I knew where it was. Well, I didn't know where it was. I'm flying through the countryside in these little roads trying to find it. And no GPS, you know how that was back then in those days with maps. And I'm not good at that. And I go by intuition. And I ended up 45 minutes late. And if you knew Pastor Stevens, he was never late. you're on time when you're 15 minutes early. So I ate humble pie. It stirred in me these feelings of appreciation. I remember I had memorized the book of Ephesians when I was in Bible college. And when I preached, this is like my first time, I was very nervous. I think I quoted the whole Bible, the whole book of Ephesians in my message. And the people could tell I was worried, anxious, guilty, the whole thing. And yet at the same time, I'm sure God was faithful to use it. But I wonder what the difference was between your life 40 years ago and your life today. I wonder how much has changed in us, not in the natural world, but in the world of sanctification. How much has really happened in your heart? How much have you grown? What is your attitude like regarding people and the world we live in? So, this is our subject today, and I want you to think with me about it. You cannot live a spirit-filled life and walk around saying, I am offended. I am offended. You can't do that, because he was the greatest offended person. He's the one who should have, said, it's over, and the whole thing, poof. You don't like me, I don't like you. You hurt me, I hurt you. You speak bad about me, I speak bad about you. This is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, He is teaching us something and wants us to learn about being sanctified by being filled with the Holy Spirit and thinking with the Holy Spirit. For God's ways are not man's ways, and his thoughts are just different. Let's read it. Verse chapter 16, verse 6, and he cast stones at David. This is when David was at his lowest point. David was, look at in chapter 15, verse 30, David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up. And he had his head covered, he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. How low was David? David was at his lowest point. He was being deposed as the king. Now attack him like sharks around a raft in the ocean. You can smell blood. When a leader is on his way down, go at him, because. Or at high school, you all know what bullying is, when there's some young person who's a bit different or odd. Maybe also they could be from a poor family, so they can't afford fashionable clothes, or maybe they have a learning disability. You've all seen it in school, as many of us went to public schools, and you know how people can smell it. Now's my time. We can take this guy out. In the natural world, people do it. And they go at the weak one. In the world of the spirit, the devil is in the world to attack the believer. And he can tell. And David was at that point. And so Shimei, this, we could say, we don't know this, but demonically inspired attack against David. Look at what he says. Verse 6. This man cast stones at David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, you bloody man, and thou man of Belial. Lord has returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord has delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. Behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because you are a bloody man. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Yeah. You know, these guys are tough guys. I go over, take off his head. It's not a problem to me at all. I'd love to do it. But in the story, we see something beautiful. And this is what we must learn as believers. We have to get beyond the knee-jerk reaction that we are being bombarded with in our world. Let me hit a raw point, a raw nerve with some people in our country. And that is our president, the president of the United States. His rank, his person, his rank, he is the president. Do we see a spiritual principle of prayer? Do we see the need for prayer? A spiritual principle. The world talks about hate as if it is okay. It's like to hate. We are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit is teaching us we are from the kingdom of God. We are in another way of thinking. Let me go over and take off his head. And what does David say? It says, verse 10, what have I to do with you, you sons of Zeruiah? Let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? He is saying, let him curse. Let them do that. I will not curse him back. Let him throw his stones and the dirt. It says he's walking along the ridge, just cursing and throwing stones and dust. And David is saying, let him do it. Maybe God will see it and bless me. Maybe God wants to teach me about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the God not cursing. He is the God that is blessing. The God that is answering prayer. The God that is leading us in the Spirit. The God that is teaching us love. We are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I cannot believe that believers, and I know you know this, but it is amazing that believers allow themselves to have the spirit of the world, the mind of the world, the ways of the world, and then they go into the church and praise God and listen to a message and say, very good, Dad, bless me. But when it comes to actually applying what I am learning, and for the Spirit to fill me and teach me, I am offended. It's like, wait a minute, why not say like this? I eat humble pie. I'm going to eat crow today. They are cursing me, or they're not liking, or they are all over me. about this or that. And as leaders, we must be this way, that we are people of the Spirit, because the Spirit is drawing people of the Spirit, that we are endeavoring for unity, we are endeavoring to love and serve, we are endeavoring to encourage and lead, and yes, may God the Father give to us the words so that sometimes we are offended in our flesh. You know, it should be. I am offended by what was said or done. But I need to grow up. I need to grow up and become like I want to grow up. You know, there's like men, we are little boys sometimes, you know, little boys, you know, in, you know, like this, you know, you're to love your wife. You say, my wife doesn't love me. You know, my wife, you can't, I don't know. I'm a little boy. Or I'm not going to the church because of the way they, you know, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, come on. We gotta get some in us, you know. We need the Holy Spirit, yeah, to fill me. And we need to learn love. And if we're all so touchy-feely about if I'm offended or not, or what was said or done, or I can't believe that happened, I don't like, I'm leaving the church. You're leaving the church? Yes, the church. The church is where God is. The church is where God visits. The church is where God opens the book. The church is where I got examples like men of God. Like men, not little boys that are off not going. I'm not going there anymore. You know, it's like, why? I don't understand. I don't know why. Just leave me alone. It's like, come on. Sanctification means that what happened there is happening now in my life 24/7, that the Spirit is knitting us together and leading us in God's mind and heart and teaching me that I'm not like liking and disliking. I don't really understand all that. Don't take it too seriously, because do whatever you do with that. I don't know what I'm talking about in that way. But I'm saying in some level, people are way too much thinking about their life. Way too much thinking about their life. Way too much touchy-feely, opinionated. Way too much. Let's get quiet and say, what is the Spirit doing? And you know what David said? God has him cursing me, and leave him alone, because maybe his cursing will result in my blessing. Leave him alone. Maybe I need it. Maybe I need the trial. Maybe I need to learn this. Maybe I'll find Jesus Christ in this thing, and I'll be able to bless. Maybe the depths of my death will result in the power of my resurrection. Maybe me losing my own opinion about something is going to end up me finding God's mind. Maybe I'm going to find God's mind and God's power because of the way I'm relating to this. Let's read it, and we'll see where it goes. It says, verse 11, David said to Abishai, to all his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeks my life. It's kind of like, I think he means like this. He goes, that guy's throwing dirt and stones, and He is cursing me. That's nothing compared to the pain in my heart. My son, who came from me, wants to murder me. That's a real trial. Where they're saying, what he's saying out there, it's like, this is like puppy chow. That's nothing compared to what I'm really carrying deep inside, in my heart. I'm so low, let him curse. Maybe it will result in my blessing. This is so beautiful. Because we are drowning in our opinions and our flesh and in our ways. And I have another little piece to share with you. I don't know if I can get it. I think so. Let's just finish with this. It goes, verse 11. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. The Lord has bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on my affliction, verse 12, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along on the hill's side over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. Through dirt. Well, that dirt really determined for me my spiritual life. No. God will appoint for me my life. How that sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Who cares? It doesn't matter. We have bigger fish to fry. We want to be filled with the Spirit. We want to be filled with the Spirit. And by the way, if you go on the social media and it works, it gets you worked up and it affects you emotionally way too much, then get off it. Like, stop doing it. Why are you doing it? There's a better way to live. Philippians chapter 4 says, if it's good, if it's honest, if it's just, then think on these things. This is where the sanctification affects our intellect. Let's finish with this. It affects our intellect, honestly. The Holy Spirit, from 40 years ago, I mean, what kind of brain did we have, wherever that was, you know? And what kind of mind does God give you and I through the Holy Spirit? I have to ask the question. I believe with my heart more than ever, and I plead with people, and I see the foolishness of decisions where there isn't any substance. There's just notions and opinions and feelings and projections, and this is just not the Spirit. The Spirit is the Spirit of love, a Spirit of conviction, the Spirit of mission, the Spirit of prayer. A great verse in Isaiah where it says, my house is a house of prayer. And then it says, I will fill my house of prayer with joy. Amazing. My house is a house of joy, house of prayer, house of wisdom, house of instruction, house of conviction. We are being changed into the image of Christ, and the love of God persuades and convinces us. But I want to show you this one story. You know it pretty well. It's in Judges 16, and we're going to end here pretty soon. And I know we don't need to, but we're having a good time here. But this touches me. It's Judges 16. And I know you probably have all wondered why, when Delilah, Samson's new girlfriend, entices him and he goes with her And then she says, tell me, because she's like a secret agent, a spy. Like she's a secret agent for the Philistines. And in this world of spies, they use romance and intrigue and females and males. And it's a real powerful thing, very powerful. And Samson's got caught by a spy for the Philistines. And she said, tell me really, where does your strength come from? You know the story. And he told her, if you bind me with fresh, you know, green cords, how was it? It's there, 16, 7. Samson said, they bind me with 7 green withes that were never dry, then I will be weak and be as another man. So she does this. And there's Philistines in the room hiding. And then she goes, the Philistines be on you. And then he breaks them. He breaks them and fights them off. And that now they go to phase two. She goes, now tell me really where to... My question is, what is wrong with this guy's head? What is going on? Hello, Samson, do you know who this woman is? And this is my point. You want to catch? Here it is. Oh, it's so good. Do you know what? If you are not being sanctified, you will do the same thing. You go back. You can't tell. You go back to the same sin. Go back to the same addiction. You go back to the same habit. You go back to the same thing. And you can't break away. You cannot break away from your sin nature. In Romans chapter 6, it only happens, and it happens, and it's a very real thing, through the sanctification of the Spirit, by the cross of Christ, by the walk of faith, by the filling of the Spirit. And you might say, I am a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. It's like, that's excellent. But the sanctification is so important that it's through this that you will break your tie with Delilah. And you'll say, hey, I know who you are. I found out who you were. When did you find out who I... I found out the other night. I know who you are. I know who you are. But he didn't do that. There are believers that cannot get this, and they do not break free. And they just go... So it happens 2 more times. He just stays in the game. He stays in the circus. He stays in the... He can't get out of it. I mean, it's like Samson is like, what? Why can't you get out? Because I don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, in a day-to-day way of living. I don't know who he really is. I'm wrestling with my sin nature, and I cannot get out of it. I don't know why this is happening to me. It's just the way I'm made. It's like the guy that said, for 37 years, I've got a bad temper. And I blow my stack, and this will be the way I am until I die. And a sanctified Christian goes, no way. I'm not, that is not true. That's what Samson would say. That's what Delilah would say. That's what people in the world say. But it's not what the Bible says. The Bible says I am absolutely free from my sin nature through the victory of the cross. And my role is to live by faith in what God has said. And now I'm able to be free from who I am because I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. I got to read it to you. We're going to do this. Romans 6. Okay. I got to get it. I got to put it out there. I think it's just amazing. I did the studies last night for hours on it and looked at it, read about it, and made notes. I've got pages of it in here, but this is all This is the point. Chapter 6, verse 19. I got to show you something. I never saw this before. Oh, boy, I'm excited about it. Listen to this. Here I am. When I lived in my sin continued, and I went like this. And by the way, you may never realize where your sin will take you. This is how I lived in my sin. One sin leads me to another one, and my world of sin is increasing. This is Romans 6, 19. Please look at it. I speak after the manner of men. That means I'm talking just right down earth level, the way human beings are, because of the infirmity of your flesh. As you have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity. Let me write that in there. Iniquity goes to iniquity. And this is the way we are as people. Just like that, just like iniquity goes to iniquity in my flesh. Listen, here's the last part. It goes great. Verse 19, it says, and you yielded your members. You yielded. Samson yielded to Delilah again and again and again. He yielded to Delilah. He didn't wake up. He didn't change it. It didn't change. He just did it again and again. So, just as, so, verse 19, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. And it's the same principle. It goes like this. So now yield to righteousness, which will ye go to righteousness, which will go to righteousness, and go to righteousness. Just as we lived in sin, we are now able. You say, I'm not able. Yes, you are. You say, not me. Yes, you. Stop it. Knock it off. Believe God. That's all. I can't explain it. There's no method. It's believe God. Be filled with the Spirit. Be a worshiper. Trust God. Stop cursing. When somebody curses you, don't curse them. Just stop it. And praise God. And be thankful. And see God. And say, hey, don't go take off that guy's head. He needs it. His mother loves him. Let him go. Let him go. He's got kids at home too. Let him go. But as for me, my life, I believe that the God that gave me victories in my past is the same God that's with me in my dark hour. And I believe if people are mistreating me, let it go. I can eat humble pie and trust God and be like Jesus Christ and give a blessing. And when it comes to our government, the United States of America, we are here not to hate. We are here to love. We are here to be Spirit-filled. We are here to forgive. We are here to pray. We are here to be salt and light in a dark world. Because we are on a mission. And hey, if I don't have love in my heart, how can I go to another place and say, I love you, or God loves you, if I have hate in my heart? It's not from God, but the Spirit is, and that's our calling. Okay, amen. Would you pray with me, please? Amen. Praise the Lord. You're here this morning and you are just hungry for the spiritual, hungry for God, hungry for forgiveness, hungry for love. You're here this morning and you're guilty of your sin. You are in great trouble with the holy God, but he gave his son, so you're not in trouble. If you believe in the Son of God, he's your lifesaver, your raft. He's the lifeline. He's the oxygen into the suit under the water. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the answer. He's your heavenly Father. Please come to Jesus today by faith and believe in him. And say to Jesus, I believe in you. Forgive me. I have sinned. I have sinned. I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble with God. I'm in trouble with you, God. I have sinned. Come in Jesus' name. I trust in you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.